Okey-dokey.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Is anybody here new? No? You are?
No. Yes.
Well, make sure. This is from Ginny, who runs this place. She's not here today, so make sure that you sign in the guest book, which is right outside that door.
I just told her that, Steve.
Okay, good, because Ginny told me at least 3 times in the last 2 days, so to do that. So I'm right on. I'm right on. Well, you guys, I'm Steve Mitchell. I have lived up in Phillips with my wife, Doris, for the last 31 years and lived in Freeman for 10. And I was brought up in Farmington. And my wife, Doris, was brought up in Wilton. So we're sort of like locals in a way. You know, I don't know if the people up here in Phillips call me a local since I'm brought up in Farmington, but you know, I hope so. So hey, I'm gonna be praying for all you guys this week because I want you guys to get something out of this service today. Because you know, if you went to Edmonds and walked out of Edmonds with a bag with nothing in it, how often would you go to Edmonds? I mean, if you went to McDonald's and walked into McDonald's to buy something and they gave you a bag and you walked out, you probably wouldn't want to be going back into McDonald's. Well, since I'm a trustee here, which is sort of like a manager team, I care about you guys and I want you guys to be happy, and I know what it would take to be happy, and that's to come away from this service with something a little extra in your head. So today, that's what my prayer is. I'll be praying this week that maybe Dean said something or I said something that'll stick and it'll help you in whatever you're doing. But I am a Gideon, and this is Gideon week, Gideon Sunday. Dean's a Gideon. We're here to give you a little bit of a story about the Gideons and what we've been doing. And we've been given the job of leading the service. So here we are. So we're going to start out like we always start out. And we're going to be singing page 367, which is The Church in the Wild Woods, which we always do. Now, we don't have any organists, and I am not a singer at all. I'm not even close to a singer. So we'll just sort of do this together. We sing all verses of this. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. We're loose here.
There's a church in the valley by the wild woods. No lover you sought in the dale. No places so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, come to the church in the wild wood, to the trees where the wildflowers grow, where the parting hymn will be chanted, we will weep by the side of the tomb. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sunday morning to listen to the clearing bells. Its tones so sweetly are calling, oh, come to the church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No part God is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. From the church in the valley by the wild wood, when days fade away into night, I would faint from the spot of my childhood, wing my way to the mansion of light. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale.
Wow, good job. Really good job. You can be seated. I'm going to open up with a prayer. Would you bow your head, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. I know, Lord, that we're here for a reason. And Lord, I pray that the time that we're here, that we get something out of it, Lord. We love you. We thank you for this church. We thank you that you've given us a place like this that we can come and worship you, Lord. We pray for this service today, that it goes nice and smooth. We miss Ginny. Be with her. Take care of her on her trips, Lord. We want her back here. We love her, and we thank you, Lord, for giving us such a leader as Ginny Roby. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're a singing church, and everybody, but wait a minute. Before we start singing, I got to read something. Just a couple days ago, God gave me this little article, and I was reading it, and I really want to read it to you because it really relates to us as singers and what singing is about in the church. I'd really like to read it to you. Music is deeply rooted in our souls. And for followers of Jesus, it is a powerful means to encourage each other along the journey of faith. Paul urges the believers in Galatia to let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. That's from Colossians 3:16. Singing together to the Lord embeds the message of his love in our minds and in our souls. It is a powerful ministry of teaching and encouragement that we share together. Whether our hearts cry out, "Create in me a pure heart, O God," that's Psalm 51:10, or joyfully out, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and he will reign forever and ever." These are verses from the Bible that we sing a lot in our song. The power of music that exalts God lifts our spirit and grants us peace. Let us sing to the Lord today. I just like that. Okay, Naomi, well, you had one.
428, all three verses, please.
How many?
428, all three verses, please.
Okay, 428. All three verses. And that is?
In the garden.
In the garden. All right.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. talks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
34.
First and last,
34. How great thou art.
Yes.
Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power through now the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall call for songs of loudest praise. Teach
Okay. Anybody else? We've got to be. Okay.
387.
387. Have thy own way, Lord.
Yep.
Okay.
They're short. Let's do the four of them.
Okay.
Have thy own way.
First and what?
Fourth.
Fourth. First and fourth. anybody got anything to put out, any more songs? If you don't, we'll move on. Everybody good? Okay. Prayer requests. What do we have? We got anybody out there that needs us to pray for them? Somebody that's hurting, sick?
My niece is going to have surgery on the 17th. She has a cyst on her kidney, but now we're going to take the cyst and the kidney, and she's diabetic, so that will leave her with one kidney.
Okay. Write this down. Do you have a pen?
There's a pencil right there.
Okay. I'll write this down. What's her name?
Shelly.
Okay. Because during the week, I'd like to pray for her. Okay. Anybody else?
I know dozens of people who could use prayers. I also would like to just have a word of praise for this church and that it continues to hold services. But I know a lot of people who are suffering illnesses and paralysis, different sorts of things. I'd like to pray for all people who need the Lord's help as far as their medical medical condition is.
Yeah, it's hard. The older we get, it's hard to make it through without something happening. Okay. Anybody else?
I'd like to pray for my dear friend David Edlund, who's got serious problems and complications from prostate. Ophelia, who is a lovely lady, taught children to sing for all of her life. She's older and just struggling now. Mary Alice is the wife of a minister, lovely lady who's having some health problems. And on the positive side, I'd like to pray for my granddaughter, Amelia, who is 15 today.
Ooh, 15. Okay, she needs prayer. I know. I can't imagine being 15 today. Ooh, no, I can't. Anybody else? Yes.
Our grandson, Graham, who's 9 weeks old, he was born with a heart problem.
Oh.
He's going to need to get an artificial valve. He's trying to hold out just a little longer until he gets a little stronger. But keep Graham in your prayers and his parents.
Okay, let's go to prayer. Everybody say. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. First of all, we'd like to thank you for bringing us here. We thank you that you've given us a church like this to be able to come and ask you for help and also praise you for what you've done in our lives. Lord, you see these people today. You see the needs of these people, Lord. We pray that you will be in their hearts, Lord. Let them know that it's you that's there, that you're the one that can help. Without you, Lord, we're nothing. So I pray, Lord, that these people will know you. And if they do know you, Lord, I pray that they come to you and ask you for help as we come to you to help them, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you've given us this privilege to pray, to be able to pray to you, Lord, for the things that we need. We also have the privilege to praise you, Lord, for all the things that you've done for us. We thank you this Sunday for what you've done, and we ask you to be with us the rest of the service, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name,
Amen. What'd I do with my glasses?
They're on your head.
This glass thing is a whole new thing. I had surgery, cataracts, but I can't read without glasses, so I've got to do this, bring them with me all the time now and have them. Okay. Let's do the prayer request. She's got down the Lord's Prayer, the wonderful prayer. Let's pray that. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay. Let's sing the song of prayer here. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the bush of angels' wings. I can see the Lord in his face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Hey, we might be a little rough, but God loves all the things that we sing to him. It doesn't have to be good. We're doing what he wants. Okay, offering. Our offering is in the back there. So when you leave, you want to put something in the baskets back there. I'm hoping soon that we'll be able to use the offering plates and do it during the service. But right now, we're got them in the back of the church. And if you want to put something in at the end, you can. We thank you for it. You don't have to put anything in it at all. We thank you. Thankful that you're here. We need you to keep this church going. So that's the most important part. So let's do the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Thank you. Okay, we're going to have a scripture reading. I think, Tony, you are reading the scripture today? Okay.
Scripture readings. This first one is Proverbs 29:18. I'm reading from the King James Version. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The next one is John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
The message today is Dean and I, we're going to talk to you about the Gideons. And first of all, I'd like to talk to you what I do in the Gideons. I have been asked this year to be the coordinator for
the fairs of northern New England, which is Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. And the Gideons are trying to get in as many fairs as we can get to pass out Bibles. Everybody, you know, that I know has hobbies. Well, my hobby is giving out Bibles. I really like doing it. I enjoy it. It's one of my fun things. This year so far, I've been involved in two fairs. Yesterday, I was at the Union Fair for a couple days. I've been at the Monmouth Fair, going to the Topsham, Windsor, Skowhegan, and Farmington Fair. And I'll be there giving out Bibles with other Gideons. And my job is to make sure that the fairs have all the Gideons they need to fill their booths for the times that they're there. Fairs are starting to get real tight on booths, and they want to make sure that if you're having a booth at a fair, that you're going to be there when it opens up and you'll be there when it's closed. So that means that everybody at a booth has to be there at the whole time. So that means that we have to fulfill from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night with Gideons. And Gideons are now are, I don't know, Dean probably is one of the youngest Gideons that I know out of the Gideons that we have. When I joined 20 years ago, we had about 800 Gideons in northern New England. We now have 260 Gideons. They're old, you know. Old meaning over 85, 90-year-old Gideons, and they're dying off, and we're not finding people, young people, to take places. There are a lot of people who are really, really busy. So I've been enjoying going to the fairs and meeting people and handing out Bibles. So I really want to tell you a story about one of my times. I have a bunch of stories of what's happened to me as I've been giving out Bibles. And one of the things I really enjoy is that when you pass a Bible out to somebody, you really never know where that Bible is going to go. I mean, you think that it's going to go to the person that you hand to, but it might not. It could be set down somewhere. Somebody else can get it. It can be given away. You never know where that Bible can go. So I want to tell you a story about that, one of those times that that happened. I found myself a few years ago on duty at the Farmington Fair. And I was on duty with another Gideon. And this Gideon that I was with was a well-known Gideon in northern New England. He's close to 90 years old. He's an old-time Gideon, meaning that he wears the black suit and the white shirt, and he's very proper and very straight and very right to the thing. And I was a little nervous being on duty with this man because he's well-known, and when I was growing up, my mom and dad used to say I was very rebellious, and I sort of got into trouble because I was rebellious. So when I'm around people that are really good, I try to watch it because I might say something that might get them upset. So I found myself on duty with this guy, and I had to make sure that I didn't say anything to get him upset at me or anything like that. Well, we're standing there, and coming down the aisle, the center of the fair place where we're at, was this kid. Well, I mean, he's a young adult. Coming down the middle of it, pants were down here. He had tattoos from here all the way down, a lot of metal stuff all over his face, and he had the American flag painted in his hair and everything. He was wicked entertaining, I tell you. He was really, really entertaining. He comes walking there. So I see him coming. I go, okay, and I start to turn around to grab a Bible to hand to him. And this old guy, which is, I'll tell you his first name, his name's Roger. And he says, Roger looked at me, he says, don't give him a Bible. He's going to throw it away. So, well, he's still walking. And, you know, being a me, and go for that bunch of crap. So I reached back there, went out, and handed it out there, and he took it, which is half the battle right there. He actually took the Bible. So he's walking down the side, and I can tell by the expression on Roger's face that I shouldn't have done that. He told me not to do it, I didn't do it. And he's just walking down there, and Roger's looking at me like, you know, you know what he does? We've got a guy in the center there. He doesn't just take the Bible and shove it into the garbage. He takes it and he tosses it up in the air like this, beautiful, up in the air, poof, just like a duck. I mean, just went splash right in the garbage, just like that. And he keeps on walking right by. So I'm standing there, and I looked, and Roger saw the whole thing, and I saw the whole thing, and I looked at him, and I knew, he didn't say anything to me, but he gave me this look, you know. And I've seen that look before. My father used to give me that look all the time. And he looked at me and didn't say anything, and I looked at him, and I didn't say anything either, and I just sort of stood there and sort of looked down, sort of bummed about that whole thing. You know, man, the guy's a prophet. I mean, he actually knew the guy's got to throw the Bible away. Well, at that same time, a guy walks by. He's the bottle guy, and he's got a bag of bottles. He walks over there, and he looks in the garbage. He reaches down there. He pulls out the Bible, and he shoves it in his back pocket and walks away. And Roger and I both saw that. So here I am. I want to say something. I want to say something. I want to say something. But he didn't say anything to me. So I just sort of looked at him. I did do a childish thing. What the heck? You never know. You never know where a Bible goes. I mean, one of the things that people say to me when they're walking by and I say, want a free Bible? They'll say, you know, I got Bibles. I got many Bibles. I got hundreds. I got Bibles. I don't need more Bibles. Well, if I can get it out, I go, give it to somebody. Give it to somebody. You know, if you got a Bible, give it to somebody. Set it someplace. Put it somewhere. You know, you can't have enough Bibles. So today, at the end of the service today, I have, for everybody, a little Bible. The women get these pretty little blue ones here, and the men get the maroon red ones, the manly ones. All right? So everybody's going to get one of these today. You can keep it. You can put it in your glove compartment. I said that to one little kid, and he just looked at me and go, what is a glove compartment? You can put it in your glove compartment, or you can give it to somebody, or put it somewhere. Just put it somewhere, but it'll go somewhere. God wants you to take it, and he wants you to do something with it. If it isn't for you, let it be for somebody else. Because you never know. You never know. And that's the great things about being Gideon. You just never know. People sometimes can be in the worst time of their life, and at the right time, the Bible can do so much for them. That's why we're here. We started in motels, and we learned that motels are a place where people sometimes go for the last time, and that's it. They want to end their lives, and that's the place to have a Bible. And people have been saved. I mean, that we've had many hundreds and hundreds of testimonies over the years, 100 years that the Gideons have been around, of testimonies of people that have changed their lives because of the Bible. It's just a simple little book like this. And when I learned about it 20 years ago, I said, I need to get people this book because they need it. Because right now, we need it. So, right now, this is Dean Olmsted. He's a Gideon. He's been given the job to tell the churches a little bit about us, about the numbers and what we do, and I'll put him on. Go ahead, Dean.
Thank you, Steve. Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
It's a pleasure to be here. I love this church. I've been here a couple of times, and I just love where it is. And you know, I think it's an honor just to be here and be able to talk to you about who we are and what we do. I'm sure many people have said, who are Gideons? Well, the Gideon International is an association of Christian business and professional men. So like in my camp, the Farmington camp, I'm the president, and I'm a store manager at Rennie's in Farmington. And Steve, you know, he's a mason, he has his own business. We have two or three farmers in our camp, and so, you know, we're just men and their wives who are the auxiliary. We serve, you know, we're serving not just us, but worldwide, over 200 countries, territories and possessions. And the reason we're doing this is for fellowship and service. The purpose of this association is to promote the gospel of Christ to all people, to the end that they may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There are 54,766 Gideons across the USA, 29,020 auxiliary. The Gideons have the best product offered, eternal life. What did Gideons do? Well, like Steve said, we have Bibles for hotels. We go on trips, we'll go on trips. We've been up to Rangeley and Aquasic, up through there, and we pass out Bibles, not just to hotels. We'll pass them out anywhere that people gather. We will do campgrounds. We will try to put them in doctor's offices, and but it's getting tougher to do that. They don't really want the Bibles, but we don't give up. We go, we talk to people, and we'll place Bibles anywhere we can. And we also go to talk to pastors in the area and see if there's anything we can do. So like Steve said, these Bibles, we give out, they're orange, the ones we give out to the kids. And we will offer them to the churches if, they have a function Bible school or any event, we'll bring Bibles and we're more than happy to do it. And we do bed and breakfast. We just travel around anywhere we can to put a Bible. We also have the large print Bibles, which are available. Usually they're for the hospitals. But, Steve and I have said anytime someone wants a Bible, we'll give them a hotel Bible, we'll give them a large print Bible, we'll give them a pocket Bible. We don't care. We just want to give out a Bible. So they're at the Farmington Hospital, for example. They're at the sanctuary, and they're there for the pastors that want to give them out to any of the patients that are there or their family. They're available to anybody. Our Farmington camp has helped us distribute, like Steve says, Bibles at the UMO campus. We did a big blitz up there, and that was quite an experience. I had a good experience, and then I had a kind of a weird experience, but because sometimes people think us as Gideons, we're like pastors or theology majors. We're supposed to know everything. But I had at the campus, the good thing I had, there was a young lady that was going by, and she was kind of upset. And I just very timidly went up and asked her if she'd like to take a Bible, and I showed her a verse. And it was just, to show that Jesus does love you and that you do matter. And she took it and thanked me, and she came back and told me afterwards that she was going through a tough time, and she appreciated the Bible and, thanked me. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then I had the weird experience was some guy pulled up in a car, and he obviously wasn't a Christian, and the way he started talking to me, and he kind of argued with me, why are you out here doing the Bibles? And I just said, we're just out here to hand out a Bible to anybody that wants one. So, it's not always a good experience, but we're not discouraged by anybody that doesn't want a Bible. Like Steve said at the fair, that guy threw it in the trash. You never know where it's going to go. It could end up anywhere. Bibles could end up from that trash. That guy could take it, then he could leave it someplace else, and it could go from anywhere. It could go. There's been Bibles that have been handed out at fairs that have ended up in prisons, and they've been passed around, and it's saved a lot of souls. That's what makes it great about being a Gideon. That's one of the things. We've also done the Blueberry Festival. We've passed out Bibles there. And we've done Bibles for Camp Good News and the Blueberry Mountain Camp. We've passed out testaments to the Old Home Days in Phillips. We just started doing that. And like I said, we try to do, like Steve said, anything at the fairs we can get into and do it. We've also put them in, the hutches they've got around town, where they have books and sometimes food. We put Bibles in there. We had a member that was had a place up at the place where they walk out from the Appalachian Trail up in Rangeley. up on Route 4, not too far from here. When they came out off the Appalachian Trail, his name was George and his wife Lisa, they had some nice hot beans and hot dogs waiting for people, and they passed out the New Testament with people, so they had fellowship. So we'll get creative and we'll do anything we can do to pass out a Bible. We also help, like Steve said, any camp that's at fairs, you know. Like he said, there's not a whole lot of us left, but we're all willing to go help other camps at any of the fairs and states, and that involves some traveling, but it's worth it. We've also given, when we did some at UMF too, we've done some Bibles there, and that's always interesting, and it's kind of fun, and you know, just to get out there and meet people and pass out the Word of God. And the most important thing we like to do is we can share a verse and just let them know that they matter and they are not alone. We, as Gideons, have a burden for the lost. And we like to place Bibles anywhere we can, like I said. And we've also done, Steve had a big trunk or treat you did at, where was that? Church. Yeah, off 133. Yes. Anyways, can't remember the name of the camp, church. But 250 Bibles you gave out to the kids, and they were glad to get them. So, you know, we also have these things which are Gideon cards, which are for any occasion. Like this one says, thinking of you, and then one for recognition. And then there's others for birthdays and for if you've lost a loved one. And they come in like $5 increments. And what that is that $5 buys five Bibles. And it does, you can do it five, 10 is 10 Bibles, and it's in their memory. So that's kind of a nice gift. We have these available for anybody that wants them. We also have this thing that's called the Gideon app card. You can download the Gideon Bible onto your phone. And that comes in 200 languages. So that's just some of the stuff that the Gideons have. Let's see. I'd like to share a verse with you, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, like I said, the Farmington camp that I belong to, I'm the president, and Steve's the vice president. There's only about five of us. We meet every Monday night at Living Waters Church, and you know, we all have busy lives, and we're all kind of tired sometimes, and sometimes I've thought many times, boy, I'd like to just stay home and kick my feet up and take it easy. But going to this meeting every Monday night at 7 o'clock has been probably one of the best things that's ever happened to me, because just meeting and praying with these men who have become like my brothers or my mentors, it's pretty powerful. You know, you sit there and you pray, and you obviously know, you're all Christians here, that the power of prayer is mighty, and it can get some things done. And when we go there, we pray for churches in the area, people we know. We kind of plan stuff out, but it's the praying that is something that's very special to me, because, you know, during these COVID times, it's been kind of crazy the last couple of years, and just we couldn't go and meet for a while, and that was a big gap in my life. And just because, as a Gideon, knowing these men and praying with them, and they also being more experienced, shall we say, not older, we'll just say more experienced, and they've taught me how to conduct myself. You know, you're never too old to learn something, and they've taught me a lot. And we meet and pray, and we're praying, like I said, for the pastors and for people in the area. And it's just something that is, for me, has been very rewarding. And, you know, like, I'm just so glad that I was able to come and do this. Let's see. When you place a Bible in motels and other places when we visit, like Steve said, you never know where they're going to end up. The Testament could be you know, somebody, a kid that's having a hard time, or like Steve said too, that might be some person's going there to end his life at a motel or something. He reads a verse out of the Bible and something, you know, I think the Holy Spirit might reach them. And, you know, there's so much, that's what we have a burden for. We just have a burden for the lost, and we just want to pass these Bibles out. And I'd like to share one more thing. I'd like to share these verses. It's kind of funny because Tony read the verses, and those are my verses that I had too. So, yeah, it's, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's John 14, 1 through 3. I'd like to thank you for listening to me and putting up with me. And like I said, it's a pleasure to come to this church. And if anybody has any questions or needs Bibles, please let us know. Thank you.
Could I?
Sure.
Make a comment. First of all, there's a typo. It's 487.
Yes.
And the fact of the matter is that confronting people, which is what you do, even with the bad things that happen,
yep.
The Lord does work in strange and wondrous ways. And however we choose to reach out to people, and I think it's really important for the older ones amongst us to reach down to our grandchildren. Our children, we either got it by now or they don't. But the bottom line is, I think what you do is terrific. And I think there are so many people, like the fellow who plays Hercule Poirot, who, you know, whose lives were changed because of the Bible.
thank you. No, we plant the seed. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That was great.
Do you have a path Strong Methodist Church is having Vacation Bible School?
Yeah.
I know they give seniors Bibles, but maybe I can ask if we could hand out little ones.
Right. We would love to do that. We've tried that a lot of times, and sometimes they'll let us, and other times they won't.
I can ask.
You know.
It starts tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever remember it. I don't know. When I was in fifth grade in Farmington, the Gideons came in, and every fifth grader got a little Bible. And it happened every year. I mean, we actually, when I was in first, second grade, looked forward to being fifth grade to get my Bible. Everybody did. It happened for years and years and years. So we're trying now. A few years ago, I met with a school board at Mount Abram, and they weren't interested. They tabled it, and then the next time they told me they weren't interested in doing it. But we're trying. You know, we can get the right, maybe superintendent, the right person in there to back us. We might be able to do something. But I would love to see fifth graders get a Bible every year. You know, all of them. It would be a wonderful thing. So. Okay, so we're doing Amazing Grace, and it's 287 or?
487.
487.
Right under there, I think it is. There. Okay. 487.
I got them. I got them. I got them. All right. 487. We're going to do all verses, I hope. Okay.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear.
Bibles here to let you leave here with something.